Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I
just whipped your ass.
You take it all away.
Oh, head north.
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Oh, not much. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm actually very tired. I pretty much haven't really slept in 2 days, and I'm waiting for the show to end so I can finally go to bed.
That sounds crazy. You know, because I just got home from California, like, literally 2 hours ago.
Wow. So you had a
let's
busy day
just,
of travel.
Let's all just hang up and go take a nap or something.
Why don't you be professional and wait for me to introduce you like a good co-host?
Because I don't know if you're going to do that. You're weird.
That's true.
You're a loose cannon.
Well,
nobody knows what you're going to do.
Well, I'm not the one that hangs up because someone thinks that I'm cursing at him when I wasn't even cursing at him.
Here we go.
I went back and listened to the show, and I actually never actually insulted Couture. I mean, I was cussing, but I never actually insulted the dude. He hung up and went all crazy and then tried to act like I'm insecure, of all people. But anyway, we are joined by our other co-host, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Good calls.
See, I'm not the rude one here. I'm a man of peace and love.
You're a man of pizza?
What?
And there's some pizza too.
Okay. That makes more sense.
But, anyway, I guess we are doing part three of our series of on the WWE World Champions. And to be honest with you, I have no idea what we left off at.
I'll figure it out.
Okay. Well, I'll let you take control of the show, Craig.
Yeah. You're not even going to ask me what I did in California? I mean, it's kind of a big thing, you know.
What did you do in California, Craig? I'm really interested.
Oh, hey, Couture. Yeah, thanks, buddy. I went to Disneyland. I was there for 3 days. Yeah.
Did you ride the giant teacup?
No. I did see a lot of D cup, but that was completely different. Yeah.
Hey, do they still have a Space Mountain?
Yep.
Did you get on it?
I rode it and I did the flare strut as I left the ride.
And then your wife videotaped this, please tell me that.
No, because she did not ride the Space Mountain.
Why? Was she afraid? Because that's like the wimpiest roller coaster that I've ever been on.
Well, number one, my son was with us, so, it's not like he can just jump up there, so.
Oh, he's not big enough to get on the good ride?
He's six.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just always see, like, you have to be this tall, but I have no idea how old.
Oh, he's plenty tall enough. Don't get me wrong. He just, he's not. He's six. He's still scared.
He's not ready for the roller coasters. That's no problem. I myself wasn't ready to get on a roller coaster until I was about 16.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was cool. I went to California Adventure and also Disneyland, and the Cars ride is like the coolest ride ever. It's amazing.
Do they still have the haunted house?
Yep. So the haunted house still have all the, they've like done like little tweaks to the rides. Like if you go through Pirates of the Caribbean now, as opposed to when I was in, when I was like 15, they've inserted Jack Sparrow into the ride.
Well, that's cool because it's stuck an island on it back in the day. I'll let you finish your stories. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, the submarine gimmick that, you go down and it shows you all the plant life and stuff. Well, they've updated that to where now Nemo, Finding Nemo is in it. So they've taken all these older rides and made them relevant with the youngsters now.
Now, do they still have that freaking 3D Michael Jackson thing?
They certainly do.
They
believe
do?
It or not, I kid you not, they still have the Captain EO.
Wow. I remember I went when it started. That's crazy.
Yeah.
They still have Star Tours?
We went out three times yesterday.
That was an awesome ride.
It still is.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah, they've updated that too, so where it's got, a little bit of episode, one through four or whatever. So episode one through three. So it's got a little, Attack of the Clones and that and such in it. So we three different times and three different rides entirely.
And how long was the line?
Well, here's the gimmick. And I was so excited. Of course, my dad, the whole reason we were in California is my father has cancer, and he wanted to get the family together because Lord knows if we're going to be able to do it again anytime. So they gave my dad a handicap placard, and so every time we got to a long two-hour line or whatever, actually I think the longest one we went to was an hour and 45 minutes, and my dad showed the little handicap thing. And they walked us to the exit and then straight up the back and boom, in line and on it in less than about 3-4 minutes every time.
Wow, you have this gimmick and you didn't bother to invite me or Contreras. We would enjoy getting on the ride.
I really don't want to take advantage of somebody with cancer. That's just me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
if I could, trade one for the other, I would obviously, make sure that my father doesn't.
Although,
have
if
cancer.
I get cancer, just in Disneyland, probably the first place I'm going.
I'm
trying to make just a friendly ha-ha little comment in Contreras to make me sound like the biggest asshole in the world. Hey, thanks, Contreras. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Well, if I could trade one for the other, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, if anything good came of this, it was 3 days in Disneyland.
Do they see what they have in Disneyland where they have like a little thing, little place representing all the countries where they got all the different types of beer and stuff?
I think you're thinking of the one in Florida. And
okay, whichever one that
on
that episode of Roseanne when Dan got drunk because he's drinking all the different beers from all over the world at Disney World or Disneyland or something. I couldn't remember which one it was.
That sounds vaguely familiar, but yeah, I think that was Disney World.
Okay.
But anyway, it was a good time, and our hotel hookup took care of me yet again. I need to buy that man a steak one of these days. And anyway. Good times.
You know, if you went through with him, you could probably get the shirts in quicker. I didn't know if you knew that, but he actually had a really good hookup on shirts.
Oh, I know. I know. He emailed me and messaged me, and here's a scoop for you. The reason I actually got off the plane at about 1 o'clock, but as I got off the plane, I got an email that said the shirts were in, and I drove like a madman from the airport to Bothell, because that's where the shirts are being printed. And I now have 90 shirts in my office, and as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to start packaging them up to get a first wave out the door. So
and
there
you go.
I hope
you cut Brian out of this whole thing and you're not giving him anything, because I don't think he even brought up your shirts like maybe one time.
Brian's getting a cut for doing nothing. So, and I'm going to pay him in cash, so it's all on him. You know what I mean?
Does Brian's, like, his office and stuff, does it in any way resemble Dave's? I'm just asking.
No, I actually made a comment about that. The disgrace of Dave's office.
Dave looks like a hoarder.
Now, I will say this. When Brian lived alone, you would go in his office, well, his quote-unquote office, and you could, like, there was no furniture in there, but you could have, like, taken mailers and videotapes and DVDs and actually constructed furniture out of said DVDs and packages and whatnot. There were so many of them. So it was pretty ridiculous. But since he's been married, it has gotten better.
I'd expect Dave to have something like about 10 TV sets, one of them with Show in Japan, one WWE, one Mid-South, one, I don't know, Memphis or something like that. Yeah.
How fucking old is that monitor? Does that thing look like it's older than half our listeners?
Well, how do I say this without sounding like a racist? Dave's Jewish.
I read those old observers, and Dave's always apologizing for the state of his typewriter. Because it's always screwed up and everything. Cause I'm getting a new typewriter next week. And so.
Yeah, because, you know, Brian, I actually, you know, needed some money from Brian for something a while back, and I actually had to get out a crowbar and the jaws of life to get money out of his wallet. Very, very difficult, and I'm imagining Dave's probably the exact same way. It's not what you make.
Where Dave's house, a video tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
That's probably the only room he ever goes into.
That's very possible.
Wonder how long he stays there every day. Probably about 15 hours.
It's Fortress of Solitude, or what's Superman's poem called?
Yeah, Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, that's cool that you get to go to Disneyland. I went to Disneyland when I was a sophomore, I think. And the only reason I got to go to Disneyland was because I was lucky enough to be taken along on a family trip with the family that unfortunately I was at a funeral the day for. And I got to check out Disneyland back in the 80s. And honestly, Space Mountain sucks. It's just the biggest kiddie roller. The only thing cool about it is it's kind of in the dark, and that's about it. But as far as everything else, everything sucks. We were pretty much in line for like 90 minutes for every single thing. I mean, Star Tours is awesome. I'll say that. Star Tours is freaking awesome. But other than that, the Haunted House was awesome. And that was cool. And we went, besides Disneyland, we went to Universal Studios, which we got to see Jaws and the Cheech and Chong House and some fucking, some original Battlestar Galactica, oh my God! Yeah. How the fuck can I forget what they are? But anyway, it was awesome. And then we went to Space Mountain, not Space Mountain, Magic Mountain, which is, if you ever saw the TV show Step by Step, there's like a amusement park and a beach. Well, that's the amusement park, but the beach is actually a parking lot. It's also where Clark Griswold went crazy and took John Candy hostage in the movie Vacation. That was awesome.
Yeah. I went to Disney World before they had Epcot Center, if that tells you anything.
Oh, yeah. That was a while ago.
It was crazy, too, because I was a kid, and, you know, we were spending a week in Florida, the Disney World. Look up, and there's, like, one of my best friends and his family just showed up. The weirdest thing ever.
Smallest place actually, on the earth. No, what's it called? It's a small world after all? Or something?
Oh, yeah. I did not go on that. People in my party went. I sat that one out. Just saying. I just did not. One cool thing. I have to share this before I forget. After you go through Star Tours, of course, you have to exit through the gift shop. And they have a thing where you can go and build your own droids. So, you know, like the 7-inch or 6-inch Star Wars figures, you know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
They used to play with when you're a kid. You can go over and construct a droid and then put it in the little case. So there was a body, there was a head, there was feet, there was a little... You know, the little foot for the, you know, the middle, you know, and all that. And I made a one in Seahawks colors. And Cameron made one as well. And put them in, they have the little cases. Just like, you know, a real Star Wars figure you'd buy off the shelf. But you get to construct it and design it yourself. It's awesome.
And how much is that, Randy? $20 each?
It was actually, if you bought two, they were $10 a piece. So we did two.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You take an essence from Dave Miller, so that's good. I also remember when I went to L.A. We stayed at the family friend that I went to was on the funeral today. They had cousins in L.A., so we went and we stayed with them. And we kind of went split, like me and a couple of the brothers went, like, straight to L.A., and then, like, the dad and the mom and some of the other sisters, and they actually kind of went somewhere. They went to one of the sisters lived there, so they went to hers, and then they kind of, like, met us, like, halfway. But so we stayed in the valley, and I just remember we stayed with this one guy and his wife, and the guy had, like, a brother who was, like, the younger brother. He was a little sickly brother. He was, like, a little tiny dude. He was, like, I forgot what he had, but he was a sick dude. But he was sick, and he knew he wasn't going to live very long. He was kind of a party animal. So he took us, and I was staying with two brothers and their friend, but it was just mainly me and one and his buddy, and the other guy showed up the next day. So the younger one, he didn't give a shit what I did. So we went with the little crazy cousin, and he took us to fucking East L.A., pulled up to this house. We're sitting in the car. He fucking walks up to the, knocks on the door. Some big-ass looking fucking Mexican cholo dude comes out and just, like, grabs this dude. And we're, like, sitting there like, holy shit, we're going to fucking die. And he's still late, but the dude was giving him like a friendly hug, and then he sold him death. He scored some of the best weed I ever smoked in my life. That's the thing I got to say about L.A. I smoked two different kinds of weed from L.A., and they were fucking awesome. But, yeah, I survived East L.A. the hour that I was in it. So that was cool. But, yeah, it was a good trip.
Yeah, it was a good trip. I'm glad we all got to go together. It was it's better than going to Hawaii, I guess. I'm still a little bitter about that, but I'm going to let it go. Anyway, so that's all the vacation talk for today. 20 minutes into the show, by the way. Where we last left you on our WWE titles, the history of the title. We left you at the Arrowhead Pond at the Royal Rumble 1999, where The Rock defeated world champion Mankind in an I Quit match. And, of course, last week we talked about the brutality of that match. Just 2 days later, January 26th of 1999 at the Convention Center in Tucson, Arizona. Halftime heat. Mankind pinned the WWF World Champion The Rock to win the title in an empty arena match. 17 minutes and 19 seconds, he used a forklift to pin the champion.
That was the best halftime show ever because that match was freaking awesome. The Rock was on fire in that match.
And it wasn't his work rate, it was his mouth, as I remember.
Yeah, because he pretty much was doing his own commentary during the match.
Yes. It was an empty arena, so somebody had to pick up. Did we lose Couture?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. I was worried about you, buddy. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
This was much better than Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler, I thought.
Yeah, that's fair. It was a good match. And like I said, halftime heat. And halftime
heat. I always love those matches like that where you can hear everything. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the crowd there, but you can hear like all the grunts and groans and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did this get a good rating, by the way? I don't even remember.
I thought it was huge, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
I thought it was a huge rating. I can't remember exactly what the rating was, but I remember it being something.
Rating different. Of the match or the rating of the TV rating? I don't know.
Yeah, it did very well. It was the halftime of the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And I don't remember what was on the other channel, but I think it did fairly decent considering everybody was watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and most of the time, Super Bowl shows stuff, especially back then. I mean,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Up with People, or you know, here's the UCLA marching band, and yeah.
I also remember. I don't know if it was the same Super Bowl, but I remember one of those Super Bowls where they had that awesome WWE commercial where King's like in an office working.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Super Bowl, I hate to go back to my vacation, but when I was in town, the Rolling Stones did a three-night stand at the Honda Center. And so last night, being Wednesday, I hailed a cab and I went over to the Honda Center and went to go grab a ticket to actually go see the Stones. I'd never seen the Stones live, and got up to the gate there, and I said, "What's the cheapest ticket you got?" And she looked at me and she said, $540. And I said, "Thank you." I walked around and hit up some more scalpers, and all their tickets were $540. And some guy said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you this up-close ticket for $540. And I said, "I'm going home." So I did not see the Rolling Stones because I did not have $500 to blow because I bought Star Wars figures. Anyway.
Well, hey, you got your priorities right.
Absolutely. And then on the way home, I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about the Stones being so horrible live now that they're so, well,
old,
aged.
Old?
Yeah. I said
you know,
aged.
If you would have had like a half of an imagination, you could have told everybody how you actually went to the Rolling Stones and somehow you found the magic ticket on the floor and went in and it was awesome and trying to make everyone jealous and stuff.
Yeah, but then I would have still been out the money.
No, I'm saying you didn't have to go. You could have just told everybody you went.
Oh, yeah, I don't lie. Anyway. February 15th, 1999. You notice that we're having a title change every other month, by the way.
Yeah.
This one less than a month after
that. That kind of stuff. Might be one year.
We went from 8-year reigns to 2 days.
That's right.
Went from 8-year reigns to 2 days to being able to win a briefcase and get the title whenever you want.
That's true.
Which I think, even though people pop for it, I think it's kind of stupid.
Yeah. We can have that debate some other day. Speaking of TLC matches, The Rock defeated WWF Champion Mankind in a ladder match to win the title at 13 minutes. This was February 15th of 1999. This was on Raw. Paul White interfered as the champion had the mandible claw applied to the challenger, but he chokeslammed Mankind off of the ladder. And new champion, The Rock, February 15th, 1999, in Birmingham, Alabama.
And Paul White is the Giant, or the Big Show, for those who don't know.
Yeah, it was the night before he came through the ring during the Austin and Vince cage match.
Okay, yeah.
The Valentine's Day pay-per-view?
Yeah, the Valentine's Day Massacre. Worst Valentine's Day.
And he looked like a complete buffoon because he threw Stone Cold through the cage so he could win.
That's right.
I just remember he did beat the shit out of Vince in that match.
I know they took him out on a stretcher and they were going to call a match, and Vince got, I mean, Austin got the microphone and said, "That's bullshit." Is the son of a bitch still breathing? And he threw it in the ring.
The next month, March 28th, 1999, WrestleMania 15, this took place in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Steve Austin pinned WWF champion The Rock to win the title 16 minutes and 52 seconds in a no DQ match by blocking the people's elbow and hitting the stunner.
Well, of course, the stunner is a way more powerful move than the people's elbow.
Well, why wouldn't you? Nothing really to note here. There's,
they're going to be saying the same names over and over again, actually, in the next couple minutes here.
And I think this one Mankind. Where Mankind was like the referee, but he got like, he wrestled the Big Show earlier in the show to see who could referee this match, and he won the match by disqualification, but he got like destroyed afterwards, and then he just made it to the end of. Right at the end of this match, so count the fall.
Was that the match where Mankind basically had the sleeper on show and was up, like, almost in piggyback position, and show just took a flat back bump with him on his back?
Yeah, I think he had mandible claw on him, you know, his arm reaching around his head while he's on the mat.
Yeah. Absolutely brutal. Just killed him.
Nothing more brutal than Butterbean knocking the shit out of Bart Gunn twice in that show.
True. That is true. I'll give you that.
What do you mean twice?
We knocked him down twice.
Oh, okay.
And knocked him out.
I thought you said knocked out. I was sorry. My bad.
Oh, my fault.
So that was in March. In May.
Why don't you just get to a new name? Because I'm pretty sure it's going to be Stone Cold Rock, Stone Cold Mankind Rock, Stone Cold Mankind Rock until Hunter shows up.
Actually, we got a new one in the mix. This was a sad day indeed. May 23rd, 1999, the Kemper Arena in Kansas City, Missouri. Over the Edge, 1999, The Undertaker pinned WWF champion Stone Cold Steve Austin after interference from special referee Vince McMahon.
Backfired. Was the title match of all time.
Yeah, this was, of course, the night Owen Hart passed away.
I think it may sound silly, but I might have called an audible and just had Stone Cold go over at the end of this match. Just I don't know.
And then there's the whole, should the show have gone on? Oh, that's the way Owen would have wanted it, blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
I don't want to think. I don't prefer to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say something. I've never had a problem with them going on with the show.
I really didn't either.
I didn't have a problem with it because, yes, if you would have asked Owen when he was alive if he wanted the show to go on, I'm sure he would have said yes. But at the same time, he wasn't alive to say yes. So, and those guys, I couldn't even imagine trying to go out there and work under those circumstances.
Yeah.
That's something on another level. But anyway, we'll, that's another topic for another time. June 28th, yes, 1 month. Let me see. Let me go back and look at this real quick. So January, title change in February. I'm sorry, January, title change 2 days later in January. 1 month later, title change. February to March, one more title change. March to May, another title change. May to June, another title change. And then that's where we're at right now. So, yeah, once a month until June 28th,
1999. So basically the WWE title basically became something like a woman's period.
Oh, jeez.
It just comes
yes,
once a month.
Yes. Thanks for classing up the show. June 28th, 1999, Raw is War. Steve Austin pinned, you guessed it, The Undertaker to win the title 12 minutes, 3 seconds with the stunner. Stipulation stated if there was any interference by the corporate ministry, Taker would be forced to forfeit the title to the challenger.
Was that around the time that they crucified some post?
It was a symbol.
Yeah.
It wasn't a cross. It was a symbol.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, that bothered people way more than it would bother me, but whatever.
I'm a man of God, and I didn't have a problem with it. With that said, I didn't let my kid watch it. But
this was the night after, you remember when he was the new CEO of the company after Glenda and Stephanie sold their shares to, or made him the CEO after Vince had his, this whole thing was fucking ridiculous. Vince was getting back at Stone Cold because he's Stone Cold, and he was having his daughter kidnapped without her knowledge that it was that he was in on it by the Undertaker. And I don't even know where to go from there. It was so stupid. He had his own daughter kidnapped and expected her to be okay with it afterwards when he was revealed as the higher power. Which I called, like, way before that, because it was kind of obvious.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, who else could it have been besides Vince McMahon, you know?
Well, he's, in his own mind, he's the highest power.
Yes, sir.
You remember when they had the Union?
Yeah, with Ken Shamrock, Mankind, and Test, and who else was
and
it?
And Vince. It was Vince.
Yeah, Vince was in there.
Yeah. They all had like 2x4s.
That's right.
It was like
idiots. They had so many factions going on around that time. It was hard to keep track of who was where and who was in who.
The ministry was awesome because you had fucking the Undertaker. You had freaking the APA the Acolytes, and they weren't funny, but they still beat the shit out of people. You had the Brood, who just had the coolest entrance. And coolest music at the time, and then you had they had Viscera and Minion.
Naked Midian. Remember when you did that gimmick?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Who did that first? Him or Brian Kendrick?
Oh, come
on. I'm pretty sure this is before Brian Kendrick's time.
Well, Brian Kendrick had a couple times because Brian Kendrick was, I think he got tricked into it by Sean, what the hell's his name? Chuck Palumbo's partner in WCW?
Stasiak. Well, that was well after this time.
Not Stasiak. It was Mark Jindrak and
O'Hare.
Sean.
O'Hare.
Oh,
Sean O'Hare. Yeah, Sean O'Hare.
Anyway, so here we are, 2 months. So that was on June. 2 months later, August 22nd, 1999, SummerSlam. Mankind defeated world champion Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H to win the title. 16 minutes, 25 seconds. He pinned Austin with a double arm DDT after the champion sustained Triple H's pedigree.
Jesse Ventura was a referee.
Jesse Ventura was a referee because they were in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Didn't he get like a shitload of money just for that one match?
Yeah. He got a bunch of grief, too. People ain't like it was a bad thing he was doing. He said, well, because I'm governor doesn't mean I can't have fun. So, you know.
Well, he had a lot of fun. Cause I remember he used to ride with the cops, and they'd have, like, video crews showing him and the cops running down criminals and stuff.
Says here that China was in Triple H's corner early, but was ejected by Ventura about the five-minute mark after she interfered in the contest. Shane McMahon came out at the 13-minute mark after Ventura refused to count Triple H's cover after using a steel chair on both opponents, but Shane eventually sustained the stunner from Austin and was thrown to the floor by Ventura. After Mankind and Ventura left ringside following the contest, China returned to the ring and held referees back as Triple H repeatedly assaulted Austin's knees with a chair before leaving the ring.
Yeah, because he was going to be out for like a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Now this China, is this pre-broken jaw or post-broken jaw? Remember she had a
jaw
realignment? She had like a whole... Yeah, thing realigned, so she looked better.
This was after.
Exactly.
So, get this. The next day, August 23rd, 1999. The next day, Triple H pinned WWF World Champion Mankind to win the title 8 minutes, 43 seconds after hitting the pedigree.
You remember he had Jim Ross in the armbar? And wanted Mankind to give him the match. And then when he gave him the match, he still broke Jim Ross's arm.
Oh, okay.
Poor Jim Ross.
He was like the Marcus Bagwell of the WWF. He didn't get the title for long.
Yeah.
I think it's like days or maybe not even a month or something like that. But hey, you got it, so whatever.
That's right. The next month in September, on the 14th of 1999, in Las Vegas, Nevada, the Thomas and Mack Center on SmackDown, no less, Vince McMahon pinned the world champion Triple H to win the title in an impromptu match in 8 minutes and 53 seconds after Steve Austin interfered and hit the stunner on China and the champion and laid Vince McMahon on top for the pin.
Yeah, this is when shit's getting ridiculous.
Speaking of ridiculous, on the 20th, 4 days later, Vince McMahon vacated the title, citing that he wasn't actually a wrestler. So, that brings us up to Unforgiven 1999.
Are we in double title changes?
Oh, it's got to be.
Jesus, what is this, Memphis?
Unforgiven 1999, Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Coliseum. September 26, 1999, Triple H defeated The Rock, Mankind, The Big Show, Davey Boy Smith, and Kane by pinning The Rock with a pedigree at 20 minutes, 29 seconds after Smith hit Rock with a steel chair. Midway through the contest, the referees on strike, because the referees were in fact on strike, came out and attacked the referees, the scabs.
I remember this now.
Yeah. The referee in question was Jimmy Corderas. He was with Steve Austin, the guest ringside enforcer, who also did guest ring commentary for the match. I'm starting to put the pieces of this puzzle together. Anyway, Triple H won the vacant title after the bout. Austin handed Triple H the title and, of course, hit him with a stunner.
You know, this stuff's ridiculous because even I don't remember.
Well, I remember the referees. That's what I remember. I don't remember the
match. I remember, like, something with the referees, but not the exact thing.
They were getting bumped all the time, and they were tired of getting... They were tired of getting taken out, and they were on strike.
They need to take that up with the booking team and tell them to don't do any ref bumps.
Yes. Point taken, but in storyline, I'm pretty sure that's how that all went down.
Is this the Bulldog, is this pre-injury or post-injury? I'm thinking it would be post, right?
99, so post, yeah.
Post what now?
After his injury in WCW where he fell down the trap door.
Oh, this is after. So that was like in 98.
Yeah, so he was already all fucked up.
You remember they were building up like he was going to do the big burial of Brett on Raw or something with Jim Ross interviewing him and his wife, but they cut it because they decided not to do it or something? I don't know if anybody remembers that.
Vaguely.
I vaguely remember him even being there at this time.
Right.
Well, he was just there for like a short time. He really wasn't there very long. And then after he got that injury, I mean, he really wasn't very good at all.
Yeah. I blame the old
Warrior. He was jacked up. He was on the juice to the 10th degree at that time.
He was on the juice, but he couldn't even move. I mean, as much as all the muscles flow, because even when he got all jacked up, I mean, he was still a good athlete, but he had slowed down from when he was a British Bulldog, basically. And then it was like even tenfold after the injury because he was so jacked up, and then he really couldn't move.
Right.
Still in better shape than Dynamite.
Well, that's not fair, but true.
Well, Dynamite's still alive.
Kinda, if you call that living.
Yeah, it's still alive, though.
Moving right along, Survivor Series 1999, Detroit, Michigan at the Joe, November 14th, the Big Show.
We went a month without a title change. Huh.
Yeah, a month. This is 2 months, almost 2 months, about 6 weeks. The Big Show, who was surprise sub for Steve Austin, defeated Triple H and The Rock to win the title 16 minutes and 15 seconds by pinning Triple H with a chokeslam.
Winner's daddy.
That's right. After Vince McMahon, who was scheduled to be a guest referee, was unable to because he was in the hospital with Austin, came out, hit the champion in the face with the world title. Shane McMahon took over as a referee midway through after Earl Hebner was knocked out. Triple H later assaulted Shane and hit the pedigree when Shane took the belt away from him as champion attempted to use the weapon. Late in the contest, X-Pac, the Road Dogg, and Billy Gunn came out and attacked both challengers. This sounds like an overbooked piece of crap.
And it's only fitting that the Big Show won the title in the arena where his most famous moment where he was knocked off the arena.
That's right.
Hulk Hogan somehow landed in the lake miles away, and then came back wearing seaweed.
That's right. You have missed nothing, Ed.
There he had a few carp or something falling out of his singlet or something to. Really
they should have had the main event like start going all over the arena, and then they should have cut, and they'd be on the roof, and the monster trucks would still be up there.
You know what they should have done? They should have grabbed a piece of cardboard and made it look like a crushed car, and Big Show said, "You threw me off, but luckily I landed on this," and held up the piece of cardboard that looks like a car.
God, rich and stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry to break the news.
Okay. Well, yeah, we've kind of known it all along, but anyway.
We give it a pass. We knew it.
January 3rd.
If wrestling was stupid, it wouldn't be wrestling, so, you know, whatever.
It's true. It's true. January 3rd, 2000. This was on Raw, Miami, Florida, at the American Airlines Arena. Triple H pinned world champion The Big Show to win the title 7 minutes and 8 seconds with a kick to the groin and a pedigree as the referee was distracted by X-Pac and the New Age Outlaws. DX and Stephanie McMahon watched the match from the stage. After the bout, balloons dropped from the rafters, pyro went off. It was a big celebration. DX and Stephanie in the ring together.
Okay, you said we were at the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we've done 3 shows of these, and we're
right
down to title shots once a month. I don't
mm-hmm
want to do 10 shows, guys, so I think at this point we should only do new names.
No, we're running down the history.
Throw them like we're going through them.
We
I thought we were going down the names of the WWE champions. I didn't know we were doing every single one.
Every single time?
Yeah,
champ,
that was the whole point.
Yeah. We probably got another show and a half out of this. We're all right. We're only at the 1 hour mark here, or 45 minute mark. We'll be fine.
You're welcome to leave.
We're going to have to use Roman numerals sooner or later. There's going to be so many shows.
No, you can write 2. I mean, you can write 4, just like just like regular.
Sure. I don't mind.
Backlash in 2000, Washington, D.C., April 30th. The Rock pinned Triple H to win the title 19 minutes, 22 seconds following a spine buster and the people's elbow.
This is when Austin came back. I think he came back for, I don't know, he wasn't a referee, I don't think, but he came back for something, if I recall. He was so much from coming back to work, though.
Said Steve Austin countered the interference of Shane and Vince McMahon, Gerald Briscoe, and Pat Patterson. Shane was the guest referee for the match, but Earl Hebner made the 3 count.
This was that show where Dean Malenko gave Scotty Juhadi that brain buster off the top rope.
Yeah.
That was
what?
Didn't they, like, ban pile drivers and all the landing on your head shit after that?
I think that's where it came from. Stuff like this. He just dropped him. He like that old, whatever that movie Coco Beware used to use. It looked so stiff when he'd use it. And he did it from the top rope, though. It looked brutal.
Okay, moving right along. Judgment Day 2000, you're going to love this. Louisville, Kentucky, at the Freedom Hall, May 21st. Triple H defeated WWF World Champion The Rock in a 60-minute Ironman match, 6 falls to 5. Shawn Michaels was the special guest referee. This was named Pro Wrestling Torch's Match of the Year.
Well, right there, you know, it's not the best match of the year.
Just saying.
Wade's a little weird, dude.
You don't say.
I don't have a problem with anybody choosing this for the match of the year. That's what they think.
It was a good match. That's the way you're supposed to do an Ironman match. You're supposed to have some build-up instead of going 0-0 into...
This one, the Undertaker came back and it ended on the DQ and Rock lost the title.
Oh, jeez.
Remember when he split his... The American Badass character, this is where he made his debut, is that one.
Okay.
Yeah, then Undertaker went Quacker.
Yes. And
it was cool to see normal for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. And they had the mortar cycles. They always put out the mortar cycles from blaring in the arena and stuff.
Mm-hmm. King of the Ring 2000, Boston Math, Fleet Center, June 25th, The Rock, The Undertaker, and Kane defeated world champion Triple H. Okay, I got to read this. Vince and Shane at 17:55 when Rock pinned Vince with the Rock Bottom. Vince ran the ropes in hopes of hitting his own people's elbow late in the bout. Kane prevented the Rock from hitting the people's elbow on Vince and hit a choke slam on him, then hitting a tombstone on Triple H before Taker pulled him out of the ring, hit him over the head with a steel chair. Moments later, Taker hit a choke slam on Shane from the top rope through the ringside commentary table. Due to pre-match stipulations that stated if a member of Triple H's team was pinned, the winner of the fall would win the title. Rock became the new champion, and Triple H's team won. The winner of the King of the Ring would receive the title shot at the next show, Fully Loaded. There you go.
Maybe I'm just too old school, but that's pinning people. They don't need the champion to win the title. That's just, you know.
Well, I hope this makes you feel better. Because 4 months later at No Mercy in Albany, New York.
4 months?
Oh, 4 months, October 22nd, Kane.
It's like CM Punk's, his title reign.
Yeah.
Back then.
Now, I did say Kane, but I meant to say Kurt Angle pinned WWF World Champion The Rock in a no DQ match to win the title 21 minutes, 44 seconds with the Olympic Slam.
And Kurt Angle was like my favorite wrestler at the time because he was just so freaking awesome when he first started with his three eyes and all of that. He was freaking awesome.
I think this is Rikishi tried to interfere on Rock's behalf, but messed up because, you know, it came out like the week before that he had hit Austin with the car.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for The Rock because the Island Boys don't get no respect in WWE.
No Way Out. Oh, no. Hold on. I'm getting there. No Way Out. This was 2001, Las Vegas, Nevada, February 25th.
Was,
The Rock.
Where I was actually live in the building.
Okay. The Rock pinned Kurt Angle to win the title.
And Dave Meltzer fucked something up, if I recall.
Yeah, he did. I remember. Go ahead, Craig. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I just don't remember what he screwed up, to be honest with you.
He screwed up, it was 1-2, and then his hand came down like it was supposed to be a three, like the guy was supposed to get his shoulder up or something,
mm-hmm.
I think. I'm not sure. And it was only like a 2.5 count, but the guy was still down. Well, one of them was, but Angle was still, his shoulder was still down or something. It was very weird.
I see. That leads us to April 1st, WrestleMania 17, Houston, Texas, at the Astrodome. Steve Austin.
And I think
pinned...
I was also there live. In
okay.
fact, I was.
You saw back-to-back title changes. Steve Austin pinned The Rock to win a title. No DQ match, 28 minutes, 5 seconds. Austin took a steel chair away from Vince, who was at ringside about the 22-minute mark, interfered on behalf of the challenger and assaulted the champion with a chair shot to the head, followed by 16 chair shots to the back, ribs, and legs. After the bout, Austin and McMahon shook hands.
And no one in the building saw that. Everyone in the building saw Stone Cold celebrating, drinking beer by himself. Or at least that's how they were acting.
Take your word for it.
Is at a time where sometimes it's hard to tell when a guy's turning heel nowadays.
Right.
You know?
Especially in your home state.
Yeah. But yes, it's kind of good.
That was one hell of a WrestleMania, I'll say that. That was crazy.
That leads us to Unforgiven 2001, Pittsburgh, PA at the Mellon Arena, September 23rd. Kurt Angle defeated Steve Austin to win the title. He avoided the pre-stunner kick to the midsection and turned it into the ankle lock for the victory.
That's right.
Okay.
And how long did he hold it?
He held it for 1 month. Not even. October 8th, 2001, the Conseco Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. Steve Austin pinned Kurt Angle to win the title 17 minutes, 18 seconds with a stunner. Moments after Commissioner William Regal hit Angle with the belt.
He turned heel and joined the alliance.
Regal came ringside, sent Austin's wife and his valet, Deborah, backstage in order to ensure that the match was kept on the up and up. Vengeance 2001, San Diego, California.
Hold on. Regarding Austin joining the alliance, like you said, everyone kind of said it was like a horrible business mistake, but goddamn, that was the most entertaining shit ever. Fucking Stone Cold, a heel Stone Cold theme, Jimmy Crack Corn with Kurt Angle wearing a little cowboy hat. I mean, that's the greatest shit ever.
I don't know. Part of it kind of killed his character for me.
Fuck me, that was awesome.
When Kurt Angle kidnaps him and he's standing him in the back of his truck and he's crying because he thinks he's going to throw him off a bridge, he pushes him in a baby pool. So this stuff was stupid.
I was there live for the Jimmy Crack Corn and the little tiny cowboy hat and yippee-ki-yay and all that stuff. It's some entertaining television, I'll be honest with you.
I mean, it just took away from the whole character, some of that stuff for me. So.
Yeah.
This ain't wasn't entertaining, it just took away from the character.
All right, I'll give you that. Let me see where
we're at. I remember that one episode where fucking all the Alliance came out and I guess Van Damme was out smoking a joint somewhere. And he just showed up late and just Stone Cold went with it and just it was awesome. the greatest thing ever was when they were all in the ring and they were all singing fucking The Wind Beneath My Wings. And you had like Tommy Dreamer and just incredible and everybody just singing their heart out. Stephanie was. That was the greatest thing ever, dude.
Yes, this is your WCW invasion.
It was wow, man. That was great.
Yeah. And Stephanie was always cooking the horrible cookies that nobody wanted to eat because it tastes like rock.
Oh, man. Okay. Vengeance 2001, San Diego, California, Sports Arena, December 9th. World Champion, WCW World Champion, Chris Jericho, pinned the
It was Jericho beat The Rock for the world title, WCW title. Because you remember it was a little mini tournament?
Yeah. Let me read this whole thing. WCW World Champion Chris Jericho pinned WWF World Champion Steve Austin to unify the titles at 12:35 after Booker T interfered and hit Austin with one of the belts. Moments after a ringside altercation between Flair and Vince McMahon and Austin Austin taking out McMahon's referee, Nick Patrick, before the match, Kurt Angle hit Austin with a chair while The Rock hit the rock bottom on Jericho. It has nothing to do with Jericho actually beating The Rock. So, since this is just the WWF title that we're discussing, WCW
Austin
comes
was
from
WWE.
Out of nowhere.
Austin was the WWF champion. He beat Kurt Angle. Go to the next match, and Chris Jericho beat The Rock for the WCW World title to go to the final match, and the final match was the Undisputed Championship. There you go.
Yeah, so it was basically three title changes in one show. So it's like a mini tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. That,
they, they unified the WCW and WWF titles on the like one of the B pay-per-views.
Yeah, on at Vengeance.
Yeah.
Not at WrestleMania 18, which is the next show, just a few months later.
They did in St. Louis for the history of great title matches.
Yeah, and not to mention Chris Jericho can say he was the man to unify both.
I'm pretty sure that if they had Vengeance in, I don't know, Jackson, Mississippi, they probably would have still done the same thing.
Yeah, that's where the story went. WrestleMania 18, Toronto, Ontario, at Sky Dome. This was March 17th of 2002. Triple H pinned, that's right, Chris Jericho, to win the title 18 minutes 40 seconds with a kick to the midsection and a pedigree as the champion came off the middle turnbuckle. Stephanie attempted to interfere with a steel chair but sustained a pedigree from the challenger. Yeah, there you go.
Isn't this around the time Jericho is picking up dog poop?
Yeah.
Good to know.
You remember Stephanie and Hunter were getting divorced and they mm-hmm. both went to custody of Lucy, the bulldog?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, it was dumb.
Because she
wanted to try to get that.
She faked being pregnant, and then yeah. They went to the doctor's office, and it was like a whole big ruse because they'd hired an actor to be the doctor. And
that's
then
right.
Linda McMahon sent Triple H a videotape of the doctor doing like a car commercial. Said this an actor.
I'm just wondering if anybody was a dick and shot up that bulldog full of steroids like the bulldogs used to do to Matilda.
I don't know. They probably were hoping she'd die so they don't have to deal with her anymore.
Okay. Backlash 2002, Kansas City, Missouri at the Kemp Arena, April 21st. The world will get October. Hulk Hogan pinned Triple H to win the title 22 minutes and 5 seconds with the leg drop of doom after sending an interfering Undertaker to the floor with a clothesline. Moments after, Taker punched out Earl Hebner, hit Triple H over the head with a chair, and pulled Hogan on top of the champion. Late in the bout, Chris Jericho punched out Hebner and hit Hogan over the head with a chair, but was eventually knocked out of the ring by Triple H. After the bout, a bloody Triple H extended his hand to the new champion, and Hogan shook it.
Wait, did we just have a fucking acid flashback? Did you say Hulk Hogan is the champion again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This was after, turned babyface after the Rock match, so they were kind of
mm-hmm.
striking while the iron was hot with him. It didn't last long enough.
No, the iron was not as hot by the time he actually
dropped the title. Didn't he do
his
own version of the Midnight Rider gimmick after this?
Now, that was the next year.
Okay.
Mr. America.
Yeah. So that was in April 21st. 1 month later, not even a month later, May 19th, The Undertaker pinned Hulk Hogan to win the title 11 minutes, 20 seconds with a chair shot and a choke slam after Hogan attacked Vince McMahon.
What is a choke slam in quotes? Because it was horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of a off kilter pushover.
He should have gave him a real
Hulk Hogan jump, and he don't jump.
Yeah.
He should have gave him a shoot tombstone to make up for the other one that Hogan fucked him over on.
He lied about for years.
Yeah.
Vengeance 2002. At the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, July 21st, The Rock pinned The Undertaker and Kurt Angle to win the title 19 minutes, 34 seconds by pinning Angle with The Rock bottom after an electric slam on the champion. This was a really good match.
This was one of the better three-ways I've ever seen.
What the heck? You know, Kurt Angle to carry The Rock and Undertaker.
sure.
Okay.
It's true. It's true.
Okay. That's nice of you to say. Yeah, this is a heck of a match. Go out of your way to find this one. It was really good. SummerSlam 2002, Long Island, New York, to August 25th. Here's a name that's been added to the mix. Brock Lesnar pinned The Rock to win the title 15 minutes 49 seconds after blocking the Rock Bottom and hitting an F5. About the 12-minute mark, the champion hit the Rock Bottom on Heyman through the Spanish announce table. Rock was notably booed in this match. It would be Rock's last appearance for about 4 months.
Yeah, I remember this show. I think this is probably the best SummerSlam. This show was awesome. Had Shawn Michaels returning against Triple H in the street fight.
Oh, yeah.
Like, awesome. Rob Van Dam against Chris Benoit. Edge and Eddie Guerrero. Stuff, Rey Mysterio and Kurt Angle. It's a hell of a show.
Yeah. This is one of those ones that actually went out of my way. Like, when it came out on DVD, I actually, you know, went out to get it. It was quite good, especially the Triple H and Shawn Michaels match. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
Not to get too far off topic, but, you know, Shawn comes back from, you know, basically the dead and starts wrestling again. Of course, he had a back injury. And how does Triple H get the heat? With a simple backbreaker. Crowd just went absolutely ballistic. It's awesome. Those two know how to work.
I bet that whole back injury was a work.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
How did he get better?
He didn't wrestle for 4 years.
DDP Yoga and the Lord.
Well, the Lord is some powerful stuff right there.
Well,
I've heard they do surgery on backs these days.
Do tell. Survivor Series 2002. New York. I'm trying to move along.
Dr. Youngblood. Come on.
The Big Show pinned WWE Champion Brock Lesnar to win the title 4 minutes and 19 seconds.
This is when Heyman turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's so stupid. You're managing the world champion, no one wants to turn on the fucking guy. That's dumb whenever that happens.
Yeah, this is before or after they built the ring.
Oh, that was next
year when they broke the ring.
Says after hitting the champion in the midsection with a chair, followed by a choke slam onto the chair, moments before the finish, Heyman turned on Lesnar by pulling the referee out of the ring and knocking him out. After Lesnar hit the F5 on the challenger, immediately after match, Heyman and Show drove out of the arena together.
This was originally supposed to be Hulk Hogan against Brock Lesnar. But Hogan wanted, he wouldn't do the job, so that's why they went with the Big Show. Thank God he wouldn't. Thank God.
Yeah.
It wouldn't let him beat Brock Lesnar. Shit.
His credibility would have just flush.
I feel better for the Big Show beating, but still, you know.
Armageddon 2002, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. December 15th, Kurt Angle pinned the Big Show to win the title 12 minutes and 37 seconds after Brock Lesnar interfered and dropped Show with an F5.
It was a swerve because he and Heyman were in on it. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
He introduced Heyman as his agent or something like the next show, so it was a big swerve.
They chased Heyman backstage moments after Albert interfered and dropped Angle with a backbreaker. So there you go.
Do you remember that F5 he did on Albert?
Nah, I can't recall, to be honest with you.
Where he, like, landed right on top of his head.
Ooh. Yeah, that's no good. Shouldn't do that.
No.
And that leads us to WrestleMania 19. And, oh, look at that, Seattle, Washington at the Safeco Field. March 30th, 2003, Brock Lesnar pinned the WWE World Champion Kurt Angle.
And I still don't know how he beat him. Still don't know how he's conscious.
He beat Kurt Angle with an F5 to win the title. 21 minutes and 8 seconds. Of course, this was the famous match where they were going to let Brock Lesnar pull off the F5 that he used to do in Ohio Valley often. It was him. He would hit the shooting star press, and then Shelton Benjamin would hit moonsault or vice versa. Anyway, as Brock went up for the shooting star press, he didn't rotate enough and ended up falling basically on the top of his forehead and most of his face, crashed and burned. And as I remember Angle talking about it later, he just, you know, basically picked him up and said, "Do your thing." And that was Brock Lesnar's cue to hit the second F5. And
you know, if they had to, they could have just had Kurt win, but the whole reason they were doing this was because Kurt was going to be out for a while because his neck was all fucked up.
His neck was all messed up.
Remember, because it was like the week before? Because you know the story got out about Angle's neck and he was going to have to take some time off, and they were, and so they were maybe going to do the title change like a week before on SmackDown or something like that, but they pulled a swerve and I think it was like Eric Angle or something looked just like Kurt Angle. And then Angle got the win from behind, but
that's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Wait, are you talking about Eric Angle?
Yeah.
You remember that one episode where he had like all his brothers besides Eric, and they even had like his like a nerdy cousin or something?
I think it was a Christmas episode, like in 2000 or something.
Yeah.
This was this pay per view was cursed. Because Stone Cold ended up in the hospital the night before with, I think it was severe dehydration. And then
he was drinking too many of them Red Bulls or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was all messed up. And Kurt was taking tons of time off because he had to get his neck fused.
He ended up taking 2 months off.
Yeah, because he had that exploratory. It was a weird surgery that nobody had ever heard of, and
apparently it didn't work. Band-aid
surgery, where you just has to, you only has to take like 2 months off or something.
Right, and then he ended up getting it fused anyway, as I remember.
Yeah, that's what him. He had that, and I know Edge. Edge had surgery kind of like that, and. Because all those years later, kept having to go back and getting procedures done because
it's
a chair shot or something.
Yeah.
Any bumps.
Yeah, that's no good. So that leads us to Vengeance 2003. This was a SmackDown-only pay-per-view. If you remember, they were doing those. Kurt Angle defeated WWE Champion Brock Lesnar and The Big Show 17 minutes and 38 seconds. After hitting the Olympic Slam on both opponents and scoring the pin on Lesnar.
Well, back then they could do that because they had more main eventers back then.
True. Also, on SmackDown, September 16th, 2003, in Raleigh, North Carolina, Brock Lesnar defeated Kurt Angle in a 60-minute Ironman match with a 5-4. During the final seconds of the bout, Angle had a quote-unquote modified angle lock. That's just the code word for screwed up, if you ask me. He had a modified ankle lock applied on the challenger, but Lesnar refused to submit and waited out the clock. There you go. This was voted Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Match of the Year.
Well, I'll give them more credibility than the torch.
That's fair. And I'll let you do that.
And way, way, way more than Figure Four Weekly.
Yeah. No Way Out 2004. This is also a SmackDown pay-per-view. This was in the Cow Palace in San Francisco. Great match. Eddie Guerrero pinned Brock Lesnar to win the title. 30 minutes and 5 seconds with the frog splash after reversing attempt into an F5 into a tornado DDT onto the belt.
You know, forget about the match. Let's talk about the Cow Palace. Remember when buildings had cool-ass names like the freaking Cow Palace, and now everything's like the AT&T Center or the Verizon Center?
Dunkin' Donuts Arena.
Okay, now that was cool, dude. That's some cool shit right there. But, you know, most of them, it's just, you know.
The Omni.
I mean,
the Omni.
The Omni.
Like
yeah,
that.
The Omni. Mm-hmm. That's the coolest wrestling name ever for a fucking arena.
Hey. Spectrum. The Spectrum.
Exactly,
yes,
yeah.
Okay, well, the Coliseum, the Meadowlands, that's an awesome name.
Okay, get this. We used to have, as soon as the stadium here in Seattle was built, they called it Seahawk Stadium. Until Quest, the phone company, took over, Quest turned into CenturyLink, so it's called, the official title is the CenturyLink Field. So people around here just call it the Clink.
Hmm. Yeah. That's a terrible name either way.
Nah, the Clink, that's a cool name for a place. Come on now.
Reunion Arena, that was an awesome name.
Yeah.
Sportatorium, same thing.
The Scope.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what state they're in, some of these fucking names anymore, until you, and back in the day, I tell you where all these states, all these arenas and states are in and stuff like that.
What was that?
Well,
what was the name? Like St. Louis. It was like the name of the hotel.
The Kiel.
The Kiel.
Kiel Auditorium.
And how do you know all these names? Because of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
That's how I learned the names of most of these cities. Like all
exactly.
These cities in the United States and really all over the world.
Yeah, it's true. So true.
Yeah.
Moving along to the Great American Bash 2004. This was a SmackDown only pay-per-view. This was at the Scope in Norfolk, Virginia. John Bradshaw Layfield defeated Eddie Guerrero in a bull rope match to win the title.
Was this around the time that Bradshaw threw Rudy Boy Gonzalez into the river?
For who?
Rudy Boy Gonzalez.
I don't remember that.
Remember
I remember he gave Eddie's mom a heart attack because he yelled at her. She's an immigrant.
It was on one of the shows that they did here. He was at the border trying to stop Mexicans from coming in, and he found the Mexican, and he beat up the Mexican and threw him in the river, and it was Rudy Boy Gonzalez.
The only thing I remember about this is Bradshaw came to the ring wearing a poncho, a sombrero, and an inner tube, and cut a tremendous promo.
I remember when they're doing an angle and he had a neck injury and he was wearing a halo and he put his hat on top of the halo.
That's right.
And it was a month before this match when Eddie got busted open so bad.
Yeah.
That's one of those. That was like one of the worst ones I've ever seen.
That
worst
was pretty bad. When Couture says halo, he's not talking about, you know, like an angel. He's talking about the apparatus that somebody uses after neck surgery. So he placed
like the
pitbull
head.
Yeah, on top of the quote unquote halo, a good 7-8 inches away from his head.
Hey guys, I gotta take a call real quick, guys. Go ahead and keep talking.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's taking a call. He's not bringing a man on the line. Okay. So that leads us to WrestleMania 21, Los Angeles, California, Staples Center. Here's a new name for you. John Cena pinned Bradshaw 11 minutes, 27 seconds with an FU after avoiding the clothesline from hell.
I just remember this was kind of a nothing match.
Okay, I'm back.
Good to know. It was just a
match, and the pin came out of nowhere, and just wasn't.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it wasn't like anything bad. It just wasn't much
right.
to the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that started us where we're on the road to today. Jesus, this is right almost 10 years later.
3 months later, John Cena was drafted to SmackDown, from SmackDown to Raw during the Raw tapings. So that leads us to the New Year's Revolution in Albany, New York, at the Pepsi Arena, January 8th, 2006. So we're talking 8 months of champion, John Cena as champion.
Yeah, it was right before this. I think it was like in like the fall is when like the backlash started to happen with him.
Mm-hmm.
He started getting booed.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. Edge pinned John Cena to win the title with a spear, 1:44. Of course,
this was awesome.
This was Edge cashing in the briefcase.
The first one.
And, yep.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be like a transitional champion, but he went and got himself over, and they actually went with it. Well, they went with it.
And they had the sex celebration next night on Raw.
Yes, they did.
Which I still can't believe I saw.
Actually, Edge did hit two spears. He hit Cena with one, and then Cena actually kicked out of the first one and then hit the second one just a few minutes later. So, yeah. And that leads us to the Royal Rumble of 2006. So just, goodness, not even a month. January 29th, John Cena defeated the WWE Raw Champion Edge via submission with the STFU to win the title, 14:03, after Edge collided with Lita on the ring apron.
Okay.
Hello? Okay.
This is when Edge was like, besides getting over as a champion, I mean, there was like a few years where Edge was basically like the MVP of the company.
Mm-hmm.
It was the year before it was right in the middle of all that Matt Hardy and all that bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that helped get him over just as much as winning the title did.
You know how they have those, all the, you know, on Facebook, you'll see all those caption photos of different wrestlers and shit like that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the one where it's Edge and Matt Hardy all hanging together, like, all buddy-buddy, like they're chilling, and it says, "Hey, CM Punk, what do we taste like?"
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was. I shared it on Facebook. It was awesome. I thought he was with the Glamazon not that long ago.
Who, Matt Hardy? I thought it was Cody Rhodes.
No, CM Punk.
CM Punk,
CM Punk's, he's laid more pipe in the wrestling business than Super Mario.
Well, I wonder who has the record for most diva bangs. It's either him or it's freaking Batista.
Hmm.
And it's probably Batista because I don't hear Sinbad on fucking those freaking shoot interviews calling and ask how big CM Punk's dick is.
Because nobody cares. This is Batista. We want to know how big his dick is.
Well, you need to know that you have issues, my friend.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been bothering me for years.
All I know is that CM Punk gets more ass than a toilet seat.
Just get more tail than toilet seat, Craig. You say it right.
Oh, okay.
This sounds good.
Sure. ECW One Night Stand Part 2, Hammerstein Ballroom, New York City, June 11th, 2006. The Rob Van Dam pinned WWE Champion John Cena with a 5-star frog splash, 20:39.
This was awesome. Not so much the match, just everything surrounding the match and the crowd and everything.
Didn't Edge come out in a motorcycle helmet?
Yeah, he speared Cena through a table, and then he took the helmet off, and everybody's chanting, "Thank you, Edge."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Was
and not that long later, Bob Van Dam proved himself to be a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Speaking of,
we got 4 minutes to go. So everyone check out AngryMarks.com. We can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks Show and so forth. So check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrere, and you can get older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me on Facebook at Edward Laredo or at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can check out myself on Twitter. That's Proper Jam. That's Proper Jam, not Paper Jam. Proper Jam at Twitter. And, again, I'll be sending out the first batch of T-shirts tomorrow morning. So if you were one of the first ones to order, you will be getting your T-shirts first. And that's pretty much it. Check out a couple of videos I posted from the show I went to last week, including Mike McCready of Pearl Jam doing Eruption by Van Halen, leading into You Really Got Me. Phenomenal performance.
You can check me out at YouTube.com/Contrere. I got a channel up there with a bunch of old wrestling videos. I just started putting up. I got a section called Memphis TV shows where I put up in their entirety the old Memphis TV shows from the 80s, and I'm gonna be putting a whole bunch more up there because somebody's been uploading them like in order, you know, like by year, whole year, and stuff like that. So if you want to watch some good wrestling, then go check that out.
Yeah, one title didn't get switched every month.
Boy, it did. It got switched every week in Memphis.
And I guess lastly, we'll leave you with this. On June 13th, 2006, Rob Van Dam was presented the ECW World title, making him both the WWE and ECW champion during ECW's debut on the Sci-Fi Channel. On June 13th of 2006, of course, it was just weeks later, maybe even a week later, he got busted with Sabu in a car smoking the reefer.
And the next day,
he had weed, and Sabu had like either a pipe or something and a bunch of pills that were unidentifiable at the time.
And that, of course, this will be our last one for the night. This, of course, led to July 3rd, 2006, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yes, in his own backyard, as it were, on Raw. Edge defeated the WWE/ECW World Champion Rob Van Dam and John Cena in a no-DQ match to win the WWE World title at 11 minutes, 16 seconds by pinning RVD after hitting Cena in the head with a belt.
They had to have this emergency three-way match.
That's right.
Like Tuesday in Texas.
That's right, because he had to get the title off of Van Dam, and of course, he ended up losing the ECW title as well. So, nice job, Van Dam. See what weed gets you, kids.
And if you don't smoke it, don't drive and do it. Give shit.
Sure. Yeah. I'll say it before and I'll say it again. I would much rather have a world where dudes were just, you know, getting high and sitting in the living rooms and not harming anybody, or people drinking and driving. I would much rather be a world with weed than a world with both, I guess.
Not to mention, if you get pulled over, you're fucked anyway because there's a stink smell.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Just kind of stupid all around.
It is. So don't do that, kids. That's,
yeah, well, hopefully sooner or later everyone will finally legalize it like they should.
Well, it's so
you can move the
home. Well, it doesn't really matter to me. I mean, it doesn't stop me from smoking every freaking hour of the day.
Yeah. Well, in this town, in Seattle, they're actually setting up a quote-unquote green district where it's going to be fine to buy and sell weed. Mostly just buy and that's away from schools and things like that. So, yeah, there's actually, instead of the red light district, we in Seattle have a green district.
Oh, so when I crash Vinny's wedding, you'll have a big ass bag of some awesome weed waiting for me, Craig?
No.
Why not?
Don't smoke the stuff, brother. I don't smoke it, brother.
You want, I don't want you to smoke it. I want it all for myself. I just want you to get it for me.
I see. Well, if it's legal in this town, you can just get it yourself.
Craig, I sent you an invite to play Angry Birds with me.
Thanks. I don't know what to do with that.
They got this Angry Birds Friends game. Have you downloaded it yet?
No, I haven't.
Well, go do that, because then you can play like with your Facebook friends, and they got like tournaments and stuff.
I see.
Pretty cool.
All right, I'll check it out.
I'm in first place, so you can see if you can beat my score.
I only want pain.
No. So what? It was one other person playing.
There you go. Well, you're ahead of him.
Cool. Well,
nobody ran with the fucking movie A Good Day to Die Hard. That movie sucked.
Good Day to Die Hard. Okay. I remember that.
I hate when they take planes and films like that and they take them out of the U.S. and go to border places like Russia. That's horrible.
Yeah, well, Bruce Willis is, I don't know how those movies got over. Bruce Willis just sucks. I mean, he took a shitty movie like the new G.I. Joe and made it 10 times shittier with its appearance. I mean, that's Bruce Willis. He sucks. But if you want something good to watch, Katrina, you need to find a site that where you can download Game of Thrones. That's a fucking badass show.
Was that on HBO or something?
Yeah, it's an HBO show. I've actually watched the first 2 seasons within the last 3 days, and it's fucking awesome.
Star Trek this weekend.
Yeah, I wanted to see, but I hear it's getting bad reviews.
Nah, it's probably just from the critics. Those guys can suck.
Anyway, next week I'm gonna debut my new favorite manager of all time.
Okay.
Oh, so we're gonna talk about Jim Cornette next week?
No.
Better. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and wrap the show up because I actually need to crash out. I've been pretty much up for 2 days, and we'll either come up with something new or maybe an interview. I guess we'll be back to this and cover another 2 years because there'll be 10,000 title changes and that's
one more show. One more show.
But one more show will do it.
One more show. We'll knock it out.
We'll see. But anyway, we'll come back next week. We should be on a regular time, huh, Craig?
Yep. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay. Sure, Pearl Jam's not gonna have a surprise concert at some Mickey Dink record store or something?
If that was the case, you wouldn't hear me, so.
Okay. Well, everybody come back next week and we will talk to everybody then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook 'em up!